Church, we're so blessed in our celebration and our time of worship and praise. We are blessed by a team who sacrifices and delivers. Man, it's just great. God shows up in a real way. And man, we're a church that I don't want you to come to church to play church. I don't want you to come to church because it's Sunday. I want you to come on Sunday. That's great because that's when our doors are mostly open. Be here on Sunday. But don't come just to come. Please don't come to just check a box. Please come to know that we celebrate and we worship a very real God who is alive and powerful and deserves to be celebrated in the community here in the assembly. And then we get the opportunity to get into this. This is the truth. And man, if you were here for the first time, or maybe you heard our ad on the radio to come to our marriage series, man, I believe you'll be blessed today. And I'm so excited that you're here this morning. And I thank you for celebrating our God and celebrating what he says about marriage and the victory of marriage and what he declares what marriage is. Man, I believe that we walk out this place with an understanding that God wants to speak into our lives. God wants to speak into me if I'm single, if I'm a teenager, if I'm in a dating relationship, if I'm married. God wants to speak to me today. So we just ask him, God, speak to me. God, speak through me in a real way today. God, what a privilege it is, God, to have the ability to preach your word. It's a privilege, God, to be able to maybe just think that there's something that would be declared by your word today that would change a life. God, that's so real. God is scary. God, it's honorable. And it's privilege, God. Father, help me to declare your word today in a real way. To know that you wrote it, that we may know you. You wrote it so we may know and understand marriage in the way you designed and created it to be. That today we could speak something that would rearrange your life. And if you're in this place, just please in your heart, just say, God, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, welcome to BC. Man, we're pumped that we're here today. I hope that you are at Seek. Sunday night was, and I have short time, but we're going to go a little bit today. Communion does take up some of our time, but I hope you were at Seek on Sunday night, because Seek was just, it was a blowout night that God just, he's still doing amazing things. And Seek is our time. First Sunday of the month, we come out and we just seek God and we pursue him and we pray. And this month, because this is a whole month of marriage, we're giving God this month and we're giving God our marriage. Say, God, change me. God, change these things. Whether it's a little tweak, and this whole series is called realignment, because sometimes your marriage hit potholes and sometimes you just need a click to realign and get going straight again. Sometimes it's a whole complete front end job. You know what I'm saying? And maybe you're here for a whole complete front end job. Maybe that's the deal. But I don't know if you noticed, and we've been talking about it for a few weeks now, over a month, of what's taking place with our teenagers. Because I'm almost, again, got kicked out of my chair this morning because the row was filled up with teenagers, but my son moved, so I didn't have to. That was nice of him, but I was willing to. And it's not a youth event we're coming off. It's not a big concert. It's what's taking place at Seek, where there's, I don't know if you noticed, but you're here, but there was a group of about maybe 25 to 30 just teenagers just praying and seeking God for even the right person. And becoming the right person. That they'd have a marriage that 50 years in is the best thing on the planet. Because they chose at a young age to do it God's way. It's powerful what's taking place. And if you're single in this place, I just got to take a couple minutes. Because I've asked that you be here. At a marriage series, it is for those who are being single. And I had, and Jay, we have a men's Bible study. And Jay said something at the Bible study on Tuesday morning, and he said, listen, I have now been through, has it been five marriage series? Maybe five marriage series as one who's been single. And now he's married. In his first year of marriage, he says, you have no idea what those five marriage series I got. It's literally 5 months of training in marriage and how that has impacted him and Francesca in their first year of marriage. It's incredible training. So if you're single and you're a teenager or you're a young adult and one day you're looking to be married, then you need to clue in on this, because listen, I'm going to, please hear this. I'm going to save you a lot of heartbreak today. I'm going to save you a lot of hurt, and I'm going to save you a lot of pain today if you hear what God, watch this now, what God says about marriage, what God's view is on marriage. And if you're in this place and you're married, man, I want to check on this, because we have to come to a place. There's a word that we're going to cover, and it's called covenant. God's idea in marriage is a covenant relationship. God's idea in marriage, as we've covered last week and what JD brought out this morning in offering, God says, what God joined together, let no man separate. I love that. So it's not what the state brought together. It's not what the pastor brought together. Yes, there's legal documents. Yes, there's a ceremony. We see that in scripture. But God did a work. God, it's a spiritual work in marriage that God says, I've joined two people together. What I brought together, let no man separate. And God calls it a covenant relationship. Now, what happens? Watch this. What happens when you Google divorce? First thing that I saw that came up when you Google divorce, cheap and easy, $149. Divorce is cheap and easy. Church, there's nothing cheap about divorce, and there is nothing easy about divorce. When we're going to read this morning that God says, I hate divorce. I created marriage to be good. And I created it in the beginning of creation. It was the very first thing that he brought two people together to walk in that sense of marriage. And God said, I have put my stamp on this thing, and I have created it, and I've made it good, and I've made it where two are joined together. They should not separate. There is nothing biblical about cheap and easy $149 for a divorce. And I'm not going to get in so much in divorce. This isn't about divorce. This is about, God, I want to make that covenant relationship. God, I want to make it right. And can I say, if you are single in this place, please, please choose wisely. Well, I'm just dating you. I promise you, you will marry someone you date. It sounds so simple, but it's so true. And then you get emotionally attached. And unfortunately, you might get physically attached before you're married. And then you're in. Now, all of a sudden, well, I know that she doesn't love Jesus, or I know that he doesn't love Jesus, but we've been dating. Listen, you will marry somebody you date, and I'm going to save you a lot of hurt today. I'm going to save you a lot of pain today. If you would just realize I'm about to make a decision in marriage, according to God, is a covenant that lasts. According to God, is permanent. According to God, is a binding agreement. What he has brought together, let no man separate. Please, please be very careful. Don't get into the sitcom relationships. Don't get into the Hollywood relationships. Don't get into the worldview of relationship. Listen, Romans 12 says this, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What happens when you say, I'm a believer in Christ. I believe that this is true. Things need to change. I need to not be conformed to Hollywood, not conformed to the sitcoms, not be so saturated with the way that the world does it. Cheap and easy, $149. That's the way the world does it. But God says, no, do it my way. What's God's view on marriage? Because unfortunately, I think that we have made it cheap and easy. Unfortunately, I think we've made it try and then try again. And if you're looking to get into marriage one day, can I please just encourage you? Please choose wisely. Please date wisely, because you will marry somebody you date. Well, it's just a friendship. You will marry somebody you date, and then emotionally you get attached, and unfortunately many times physically you get attached, and then you're in, and you don't know what happened. And then you marry somebody you date, and it's a disaster. Please, I love you. I love the teens and the singles in this place. Man, we're filled with them. We're filled with them. Please hear my heart in this. Be so careful who you date. And they better love Jesus. They better love Jesus first, way before you. Oh, let's go, come on. Malachi, please, because I want you to see this. And this is going to be a great message. It's going to kind of go like this, but next week it'll be light and easy. Next week's going to be juicy. We're talking about best friends in the bedroom. So juicy, church, juicy. Next week is going to be full of fun and laughter and entertainment and biblical truth about the bedroom, what God set up for a husband and wife. Woo, it's good stuff. I'm begging Renee to come up and help me in this next week. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm begging, honey, come on, help me out with this message. She says, no, I'm on vacation next week. I'm not going to be here. Well, we'll see. But next week is PG-12. I want my 12-year-old in here because we're going to teach him biblically what God says about the bedroom. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's amazing. And that's next week. So we'll look forward to that and be here next week. Look at this. Malachi 2, it's the last chapter in the Old Testament. It says this. Verse 13. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and groaning because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Like we're giving and we're giving and we're crying and we're weeping and we're and God's like, enough, not accepted. Verse 14, watch this. Yet you say, for what reason? Why would God do that? Watch this. Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and the wife by what? By covenant or by promise or by vow. Again, not looking at today's version, not looking at public view today, not looking at your friend's view today, not looking at your family's view today. Marriage series, we have to look at what God's view is. What did God say about marriage? He said it's a covenant. It's bound together. It's a promise. It's a vowed relationship. It's a treaty that we make with one another. And I love this because you got the word treacherous here and you have the word covenant here. Verse 14. Again, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and the wife by covenant. But not one has done so who the remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. Do not be unfair. Do not be deceiving. Do not be unfaithful. Do not break your promise. There's that sense of being loyal. Verse 16 says this, for God says, I hate divorce. And let me just take 2 minutes on this, please. Because this is very real and it hits home to so many people. God gives an allowance to divorce. When you understand by covenant, you understand we are bound together. Do you understand that even in Jesus, it's a blood covenant that we have with Christ? And it is this binding that we have. And God says, what I have brought together, let no man separate. God says there are no longer two, but there's one. And God says the issue that God allows a divorce is because of adultery. Because you break that covenant. You've dealt treacherously. You've dealt in unloyalty. You've dealt in that sense of what it means to not understand that covenant, to weigh yourself against the covenant that God says, I brought you together. They should not separate. God bound us together. It's a spiritual act before it's ever a legal act. It's before God, but much more than before the state. But God says, listen, if you break that covenant and you break that bind and you go and you walk in adulterate relationship, and God says, in that case, it's okay to divorce. And that's, listen, again, I don't want to spend much time on this. This isn't on divorce. It's about God's idea of the covenant to help us to know, listen, never quit. And the second belief that we see from treacherous is this. Please hear this. Please hear this. And this is where I say, you better not be quick to the altar. You better not run to the altar quick. You better not fall into this dating relationship as single and just say, I'm going to, because I cannot tell you how many times I sit down with couples who are so struggling and they just are ready to sign. Well, I didn't know who I was marrying. We met each other 6 months. We were married at 8 months and we just really didn't know each other. Please, that is just stupid, church. You need to know who you're marrying. You need to know the seriousness of the covenant. You need to know 50 years in, we're in. 25 from now, it's going to get better. 50 years, we're in this thing. Till death do us part, we're in this relationship and marriage. It's so real, and it's so serious, and we're so quick at times to just run to the altar. Because what I see in Scripture is this. Please hear this. Please hear this. No woman or a man, but it certainly falls more on the female. No woman should ever be subject to abuse. Ever. Ever. No woman should ever be subject to abuse. Well, you just have to stay in that relationship. No, you don't. Well, I didn't see this side of him before I married him. Well, I dated him for 6 months and we got married at 8 months. Church, don't. The Bible says this, a hot-tempered man you should have no association with. Now, if you please hear this. Now, I want to just deal with singles for a little bit. If you are single in this place and you're dating a hot-tempered man, then I'm begging you for your own future. You need to ditch. You need to ditch. If you're in a relationship and this person doesn't even love Jesus, male or female, he doesn't love Jesus or she doesn't love Jesus, it is time to ditch. Well, I didn't know all she did was want to argue. Man, she's an angry woman. Man, she's a mean woman. Man, she's just ditch. I didn't say the other word. That was a close one. That's funny. I just thought of that. Like, oh, that's, I could do a rhyme right there that wouldn't go well in the BC community, right? That's funny. But I need you to know that I love you and I love this book and I love the Word of God and I love how God set it up. And I'm saving you so much. And I tell you, even in this message, my heart is like, God, I have an opportunity to just maybe, just possibly set up dating relationships, set up someone to ditch someone, set up something where they really seriously consider whom I'm going to date, whom I'm going to marry. Because God, you said it's a covenant. And God, if this person is an angry person, you've said it is your advice in Proverbs to not even associate with this person. Let alone date him. Well, maybe he'll change. He won't. She won't. You can beg all you want. But until you really understand, no, they need to first be followers of Jesus. They need to first be lovers of Christ. They need to first be worshipers of him and understand what it means to look at him first before they ever looked at me. To know that he will always be first in our relationship. And in that, there's a promise that we will make to one another. It's called the covenant. And it's life. Now, please, I am talking to you now who's married in this place. I'm not talking about your past marriage. I'm talking to your marriage now in this place that you would see what God says here. Because honestly, I think we live in a society and that's just saturated by cheap and easy 149. And it can so easy just creep into our lives. And it can so easy creep into the church. God's word is not harsh. It's just one of those things that we come to this place to say, God, what's your view on this? He says, I've made it good, and I've made it full of life, and I've made it full of joy. And man, I've made it a covenant relationship that you are bound together. BC has, and your version may say vows. And you got to understand something. When you do vows at a wedding, they're not really found in Scripture. There's not vows found in Scripture. There is that covenant relationship. And I think that one of the most important parts of the wedding is the promises, is the vows, is the idea that this is a covenant. And what God has brought together, let no man separate. And it's great because when I do marry people, and I'd love to marry people, but a lot of people say, hey, we want to write our own vows. I'm like, that's awesome. And it can be so special. It can be so moving. And it can be so real that you're making these promises to one another from the heart. And it's awesome. But I request, if you want me to lead this wedding, that's fantastic, but I need to read your vows separately. You know, not you don't have to hear them, but I need to know what you're going to say because it's such a serious thing where I see it in Scripture. It can't be, I vow to you to get your beer every time you ask. That's my vow to you, honey. Love you. Because that's actually been in the vows before, and it's just like, what is, that's your promise for life? Seriously, that's all you got? Cheap and easy, 149. No, because this is what the church has written out, and these are Bible verses, actually. I, Sean Obergefell, take you, Renee Obergefell, and I say this because we're married. Her maiden name is Renee Prendergast. To have and to hold from this day forward, I will love you as Christ loved the church. I will protect you. I will value, appreciate, and honor you. I will celebrate you. I will put myself second in every circumstance. For better or for worse, watch now, watch now. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, I will honor this marriage until we are parted by death. As God is my witness, I give you my promise. See, that's a vow that I made to Renee before a holy God. Say, God, I see it. It's a covenant. We dated for a good year and a half or longer, and then we were engaged for a year and a half. We understood the covenant relationship. We understood, God, this is a one-time deal. I want to know who I'm marrying. I want to know who I'm going to make this promise to, not before the state, not before a minister, but I want to know that I'm making this promise before a holy God who says, listen, I hate divorce, and I'm making a covenant with Renee. And then Renee's vows, here's the vows. It says something like this. I, Renee Obergefell, take you, Sean Obergefell, to be my husband, to have and hold from this day forward. I will submit myself to you. I will respect you. I will be strong and bring dignity to our home. I will put myself second in every circumstance, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness, and in health. I will honor this marriage until we are parted by death. As God is my witness, I give you my promise. What's that look like when you can stand before a holy God as two people who say, God, we love you first. And this is my promise. This is my promise. Because God's idea of marriage is that it's bigger than you. Listen, when you go in to the cheap and easy 149 and you bought into the things of the world and you forgot, no, I'm different, man. I've been transformed by the renewing of mind. I think different. I see different. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is forever. Marriage is God-given. Marriage is a holy ceremony before God to say, I will be with you forever, sickness and in health, richer or poorer. I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm forever with you before a holy God. Because I love this, Ephesians 5, it'll be up on the screen. It says, listen, the mystery is this. It's a great mystery. The Lord says this, that listen, when you understand marriage, the mystery is this. I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Do you realize that your marriage is a display of Christ and the church? You realize that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I'm with you forever. God says, my covenant is with you, and I've cut a blood covenant through my son Jesus Christ with you. And I love this picture of marriage. He could have picked anything for us. But what did he say? This is the display for the world to see. In Christ, in the church, it's me and Renee. How serious do you take that display? How serious do you take that display? Renee and I, before we ever got married, said we want our marriage to display Christ in the church for people to see, for people to see Jesus, for people to see a covenant, for people to see a permanence, because we get it. We get it. It's bigger than us. Christ in the church is on display in your marriage. And then he gives us what it really means in marriage. He goes on in verse 33, husbands, love your wives. Wives must see to it that they respect their husbands. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, unconditionally, undeniably, undefeatably. Wives, respect your husbands. Be in awe of your man. Colossians 3 gives us some great picture. 18 and 19. So listen, wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Do not be embittered with them. Proverbs 12 tells us, Be an excellent wife. An excellent wife is the crown. And that word crown, it means victory or celebration of her husband. I love that. Men, do you understand God's idea, God's view of marriage is that you celebrate your wife. God's view of marriage is that your wife is your victory. She's your victory. She's your celebration. An excellent wife is the celebration or the victory of her husband. But, watch this, but she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones. Do you realize that your man needs to be affirmed? Your man needs you to breathe life into him. Your man needs you to speak to the man in him. Why? Because if you shame him, it's like rottenness to his bones. I have 2 minutes. You're saying, man, Sean, I don't know. Like, you remember the whole, we need a whole front end redone? Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you're just like, man, this is good because I can just make, I know that where I need to adjust, and I know I just need a little click. Maybe you're in this place. I believe Proverbs, man, I love Proverbs. Proverbs 18:20 says this. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied, and he will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Watch now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Watch now. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. All three, 1, 2, 3, 18, or 20, 21, and 22 of Proverbs 18. Watch this. I believe this. Sean, how do we get it back to a place? I just don't think that we're in love anymore. I hear that. I just kind of fell out of love. Man, we did it so quick. You mean I am truly, unless he sleeps around, or unless she sleeps around, unless he's really violent, or she is really beating, or if she comes to this place, unless, like, I want to get out of this thing. It's not bad. It's just not good. How do I fix that? When I say this, I think it'll ring true. The condition of your marriage is a product of your lips. The condition of your marriage. And that's good and bad. If you have a marriage, man, we're thriving. Things are good. And man, we're in the right direction. And man, we get it. We represent Christ in the church. It's on display in us. Guess what? You're speaking life to one another. Death and life and the power of the tongue. And he who loves it will eat its fruit. You're speaking life into your husband. You're speaking life into your wife. You're praising her in and out. You're praising her in public. You're praising her quietly. You're praising her when she's not around. Men, no, man, he speaks well of his wife. What happens when the condition of your marriage is a product of your lips? What happens when we just speak harsh? What happens when we beat one another down with our words? What happens when we just let words fly and think there's no consequence? What happens when you look and you find your marriage in just horrible condition because it's the product of verbal assault? Can I just give you two ideas that will rearrange your home? It's simple. What happens if we come to a place to change today? In two ways. I'm going to be towards you, and I'm going to be for you. You want life back in your marriage? You want to come back to that place of acting like we're in love? Then I got an idea. Act like you're in love. I got an idea. Say, listen, we're in this covenant relationship. We're bound together. For whatever reason, I believe that God can make a change. God can come in. He created it. We can do it God's way. God can move in us in a very real way. We can come to this place to know I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. The God who split the Jordan, the God who split the Red Sea, the God who created all things, if I pray, he can move. He can move in my house. He can move in me. I will be towards my wife. I will be towards my husband. I will be for my wife, and I will speak life into her, and I will speak life into him. We're going to change this house, and God's going to do a work. Church, that you come to a place to be simple, say, I'm making a commitment that I'm going to be towards you, that I'm going to be for you. My actions are going to be towards you. My words are going to be for you. It will change the atmosphere of your home today when you really come to the place. Say, fine, if divorce isn't an option, then why don't we make it amazing? Why don't we climb a mountain and come to a place to say, I want to get to that place that divorce is never mentioned in my house again. I want to get to that place that we were so glad we came to church today. Because a year from now, it can be better than it's ever been in all of our years of marriage. Because you said, God, you said it's a covenant. God, you said it's good. God, it's bigger than us. Christ and the church is on display. God, where's the grace? Where's the forgiveness? Where's the endurance? You come to a place this morning just to say, God, help me. We've all prayed those prayers. God, help her. Renee still prays, God, help Sean. But what happens when you really come to a place, say, God, help me. I need you. There's something that took place at Seek Church. Hard to explain. Amazing shift. A supernatural shift has taken place in marriages. What happens when you come to this place? Say, God, it's time to shift. God, your view is covenant. That's your view. So God, help me to be towards my wife. For my wife, God, help me, change me to be towards my husband, to be for my husband. Let the condition of our home, let the condition of our marriage become the product of our lips. Let's bow our heads. Come on, Father, we just, oh God, please. Let us change the condition of our marriage. Let us change the condition of our home with our kids. And let it be a product of our lips. And if your marriage, just grab the hand of your husband and wife and just, if you're single in this place, man, half this thing was for you. Half this message was for you. You better choose wisely. You better know God's idea. It's permanent, man. It's a covenant. Good. Don't pick quick. So on the hand of your husband and wife, you just come to this place, I will be towards you. And I will be for you. And let the condition of our home become the product of our lips. And we will be satisfied. And it will be good. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for next week, God. As we talk about how you've created us. Woo, juicy. In Jesus' name, amen.